It's time to reclaim control, not just of your law firm, but of your life. Welcome to the Law Entrepreneur Podcast. Discover how early adopters are leveraging cutting-edge legal tech and early adoption strategies to lead the industry while embracing work-life balance. Unlock the secrets to a thriving law practice and a balanced, happy life with the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 412 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your co-host once again with my good friend out on the West Coast, Sam Malai. Sam, what's going on today?
Feeling good. Today I had my optimal day, which is waking up at 5 a.m., show up for a class on spirituality at 6 a.m., pray at 6:40, get back home at 7:35, get a good hour of work, go head out to the gym, work out with my trainer, come back, shower, and now sitting here with you, Neil.
Wow, that's a good start. I got to admit, you're a little bit ahead of me already.
Let's do it. Let's pass off the good energy and share some good value today. Neil.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Pretty good topic for today. Everybody loves marketing. And the topic for today is your law firm falling behind on marketing? Everybody needs more marketing. Everybody needs more clients. And there'll be some good insights for you. If you're probably struggling with generating more clients, make sure to follow through with what we'll be sharing with you today.
And I think it's a great title too, Sam, just by the way, because I think when I speak to a lot of attorneys, that's exactly what they're feeling. They're always feeling like they're falling behind, that somebody else is further ahead of them on marketing. They don't know where to focus their energy to catch up, or if they even need to catch up. So I think this is, speaks right to that issue.
All right, let's do it. Number one is not running paid ads. Paid ads, Neil, marketing 101. Let's just do it. Let's do a little recap of marketing 101. There's only two ways to get clients online these days for law firms. Number one is content, which is, let's just go through the content. This is writing a blog article, posting videos on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok, being engaged in Facebook groups, communities, organic stuff, things that you can do with your time. However, there's a second side too, which is the paid ads department, which is basically paying money to be placed in front of potential prospects. This has been my bread and butter for some time now. Kind of fell into this world and never left. And using a lot of tracking, using a lot of testing, start off with $1,000 a month budget to now spending over $900,000 a month in ads. I have a lot of good insights. Hopefully they'll be sharing with you. But the power of paid ads, I cannot stress the value of paid ads.
Yeah, and listen to this guy who's talking here, this guy Sam Malai, because he really has been one of the pioneers in paid advertising for law firms. Unfortunately, there's still a whole large segment of the legal community that looks at advertising as being a dirty word, and that they come from the mantra, I just try and do good law and let everything else take care of itself. Well, you're not going to be able to compete with guys like Sam, who are becoming more and more the norm rather than the exception. So running paid ads is absolutely the number one area where you have to focus your marketing efforts these days.
Absolutely. So how do lawyers get started in paid ads? So let's go through kind of like the framework. Number one is figuring out where you should be running paid ads. Well, let me simplify it for you. There's usually going to be one of two sources where paid ads works best. Number one is Google. Number two is Meta, which has been Meta is just Facebook and Instagram. Google, let's just start off with Google. Google is the biggest search engine in the world. Most people that are seeking something are gonna first go on Google to look for that. So you get high intent prospects who are looking to either hire a lawyer or looking to get some questions answered about their problems. Well, no better place to be than either in one of a couple of different places when it comes to Google. Number one is Google LSA. Google LSA is Google's way of simplifying, of connecting people that are looking to hire a lawyer with getting a call, calling into a law firm. It basically gets rid of the management. There's no You know, there's no need for campaign build and keywords and ad sets and all these things. Instead, all you do is essentially you create a Google LSA profile. You select what kind of calls you're looking to get. You fill out your profile to make sure as much information as possible. And once you set up a budget, then you're competing with people in your local city to get calls for that particular practice types. That happens to be the easiest, lowest hanging fruit. Very easy to set up for the most part. And, you know, it does bring in a good amount of calls. However, you know, it's not cheap. You're going to be paying per call. Also, it's very limited by your market and, you know, whether your competitors are doing it and how much are they spending. But it is a low hanging fruit that every lawyer, I think, needs to set up. Beyond that, yeah, you have Google Ads. Google Ads, everybody knows about Google Ads, has been kind of like the main source for clients for lawyers. That requires a Google Ads media buyer. You should not be creating your own Google Ads campaigns. That I've seen has been the biggest problem. Why Google Ads doesn't work is usually means usually doing it yourself, or you're having somebody who doesn't have that much experience setting it up. I've seen such a huge disparity between good media buyers and great media buyers. And Google Ads is definitely one of those things where you need a really good, great media buyer to be able to stay on top of the trends and the updates and changes that Google brings up all the time to make sure that you're doing well, having high quality scores on Google to make sure you stay competitive in a very competitive space.
And you always have to double back and check on them as well to make sure that they are achieving the results that you want. I have a very good friend who discovered, you know, 6 months in and wondering why they were getting, you know, calls that weren't as targeted as they had hoped for, and discovered that their Google ad buyer, media buyer was not holding up their end of the bargain. So you can't just set it in motion and then walk away and forget about it. You have to stay on top of it as well.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're running Google Ads and Google LSA and you're not profitable at this stage, then there's big issues. In your first month, usually it's you know, anything goes. You're not necessarily, you're just trying to break even in your first month. But by month three, if at least you're not breaking even or making money, then it's huge issues. And definitely not if you're beyond that. So, you know, just be mindful. And you should know whether you're profitable or not. If not, then it just might be a media buyer, a different media buyer might be the answer for you. The third down Google's kind of rankings of you placing yourself in front of prospects is local, Google Local, which is basically your Google My Business, making sure that your Google My Business is totally optimized. Another low hanging fruit, collecting reviews, which we'll talk about shortly. But if you do those foundational kind of things, which again, we'll get into more detail, then that's the third thing. And then fourth is SEO, organic content marketing. You know, all these SEO companies are selling you these things, which is the fourth on the list. You know, yeah, again, keep in mind that we already talked about Google LSA, Google Ads, Google Local, then you get to the SEO kind of world. But those are the best places to kind of place yourself to be in front of your prospects when it comes to the Google world. However, I'm here to tell you that, yeah, Google is great. It works. It's profitable. But there's even a bigger market and more of a potential when it comes to Meta, Facebook, and Instagram. This is a blue ocean, has been a blue ocean for the past 4 or 5 years. I got onto it early. I've been very aggressive with it, and it's still super profitable, super big opportunity still left for a lot of lawyers to jump in, do it correctly, and make a lot of money from it. However, Facebook and Instagram ads are not as easy as they look. There's definitely a method to the madness. It requires knowing what's working right now, staying on top of that. What I do is I have a large swipe file of all law firm ads across all practice types, and I stay on top of that. So I know exactly what's going on, what type of ads are working right now, what's not, what type of funnels are working, what's not, what type of landing pages are working, what's not. And these things change. And what we do is we stay on top of it. I decimate that information and those resources to our team, and our team comes and sets up these same winning frameworks, same type of creative, same kind of ads that are working well for myself and across multiple law firms, that are working well for our members, and set up these same ads for our My Little Academy members. So that comes down to good swipe files, good creatives, good funnels, good qualification, and making sure that's all integrated into your CRM. And then there's a whole bunch of things that need to be done on the back end, but we'll save that for another episode. But that's what it takes these days. If you can dominate Google or dominate Facebook, or if you can dominate both, that's where the money's made when it comes to law firm marketing these days.
Sam, where do you view YouTube advertising?
Probably somewhere fourth on the list or so.
Okay.
Kind of my world is, you know, I think about the low-hanging fruits again. Google is kind of low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Then I see Meta as the biggest opportunity. Then I would say third is TikTok ads, which is the kind of like the same kind of recipe as Meta ads. And then fourth is YouTube ads. But, you know, I wouldn't jump onto YouTube ads until I've dominated Meta and TikTok. Then I will go to YouTube. But yeah, for somebody who is kind of scaling very quickly, then over time, you're pushed to also get on these other platforms and scale all four of them up. And that's what I do, kind of all four. And I'm actually looking at our marketing dashboard. We have our different resources, and on a daily, weekly, monthly kind of basis, I could share with you how much I spend on each of those marketing sources, how many leads we generated, what's our cost per lead, how many qualified leads did we generate, what's our cost per qualified lead, how many, we call it in period retained, which is basically from that month's marketing that we did, what's our, how many signups did we get from that month's marketing. We also have an in period CPA, which is basically from that month's marketing, what's our cost per acquisition. Also, we have a cumulative retained, which is basically means just generally from that source, how many did we sign up, which could include some from previous months. And then we have also have a cumulative CPA. So across all of your sources, we know exactly what's going on. And for the most part, again, this is kind of inside information that kind of we share with our members. Different practice types have their own cost requisitions for different sources. And that's the kind of information that I try to share with our members once we get into our masterminds and our kind of those types of meetings.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
All right. So, but the call to action is, again, I put as number one, and I wanted to start off at the bank, is you got to be running paid ads. That's what it, you know, if you're struggling with getting clients, that's a short answer. You need to be at some point be running paid ads. Number two, speaking too much about yourself and failing to talk in your client's problem language. Probably the biggest marketing mistake is talking too much about yourself. Neil, how do you feel about this?
Well, I completely agree. And again, you know, I'm a little older, so I can directly relate to how this issue comes about for a lot of attorneys, because for a lot of attorneys, their idea of what was marketing was to tell you how good an attorney they are and how good a practice they are running. And so it's all attorney centric. And it's been a long time, and it's taken people, you know, innovative individuals like yourself to help the legal community understand that that's not what marketing is really about. Marketing is about understanding what your client's problem is, speaking their language, and getting them to understand how you might help them solve their issue. So it has to be client-centric. The more you can focus on the pain that your clients, potential clients, are experiencing now as a rationale as to for why they're reaching out to you, or get them to connect with that joyful feeling they're going to have once their problem is resolved as a result of working with you, the more you can make that client-centric messaging the focus of your marketing approach, the better off you're going to be.
And I feel like the reason why a lot of lawyers speak in this language is this is what how it used to be back in the day. I think back in the day, it was so easy. As long as you did any advertising, then that'll be good enough for you to get clients. And that kind of stuck on. And then it got replaced by people who were a little bit more refined in their marketing sense, but people who realized marketing isn't about us as lawyers. It's more about our clients' problems. And then, you know, some of those lawyers, caught onto that. But the people who were still stuck with the old way to do it, kind of stick to the same kind of methods and just stick to it.
And I can point to a specific incident, because I had been in business Before I went to law school, as our listeners know, late in life. And so I had hired a bunch of people. I had seen thousands of resumes and what have you. And I remember in law school, they forced me to rewrite my resume in the law office format, which was always talking about you as the attorney, what you've done, what your experience is, what your classes have been. And they felt that that was the way to get a job in big law and, you know, start to pay off those law school debts. And that's the mentality that lawyers were created with. And it's taken an awful long time to start and shift that way of thinking.
Absolutely. Neil, it's something that I've been thinking about the ego. How ego, if it's in business, in relationships, in any aspect of life, usually gets in the way of the ultimate good. So if you bring too much ego into your business and into your marketing, then it doesn't leave room for positivity and growth and for your potential clients to come in. So the more you kind of you inflate it, again, leaves less room for other stuff. So a good way is to remove the ego.
You've seen this yourself really pretty clearly, Sam, with all those advertisements, ads that you're collecting in your swipe files from law firms around the country. I'd venture to say, I'm just going to guess, about 90% of them feature a photo of the attorney or the legal staff in that law firm.
Pretty much, yeah. A lot of it. It does have a place for it. And that's more maybe sure. Middle of the funnel or end of the funnel. When a prospect is in the consideration stage, then yes, then KLT, we mentioned KLT, know, like, and trust. And show your story, show your face, show your family photo, things like that. That helps in that regard, but definitely not the front end. Because on the front end, people are just, you know, either problem not aware or problem aware. And you should only speak in that language, get into their mind of the pains that they're feeling at that point. That's how you bring them in. And then later on, then you could share your story and your achievements and why they should move forward with you.
Yeah.
So if that's you, you know, you've been running ads, you're doing marketing, your website has a lot of information about you. For me, when I realized this about 6-7 years ago, I kind of flipped it. So every time I talked about myself, I just put it into the you language. If you're dealing with this kinds of problems, if you feel this kind of pain, if this is how you feel, if these are your things, these are the questions that you have, then this is exactly what we do. It makes a world of a difference. So just flip is the mindset. Flip the language from you, from your I to you. Yep. All right, let's go to number 3. What I call the lowest hanging fruit in marketing. Neil, what is that?
That's not having enough Google reviews, not focusing on getting Google reviews.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Neil, I feel like you're all about, you know, client-centric, you know, providing good service. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, I can tell you from my experience, you know, frankly, my law firm struggled for a long time. It's no secret about that. I wasn't where I wanted to be until I did two things: micro-niching down to a very small local geographic area, and secondly, focusing on video content and getting Google reviews. Is kind of the same slice of the apple. And I'm happy to say that all the reviews I have more reviews than anybody in my space in the area. And every single one of them is a 5-star review with really some very kind words that our clients have shared with the public. And when I drill down with new clients to ask them how they came to find out about our law firm and what about our law firm attracted us to them, without question, it is, well, you're very local to me. I liked that. And number 2, I love the reviews. Because people are used to, if you go to a restaurant or you go to a show or you go anywhere these days, people are going to go online and look at the reviews and find out what people are saying about whoever they're or whatever they're contemplating. And it's no different with attorneys. But believe me, by the time they call you, they have already done their back front end research and have formed something of an opinion based on the reviews. Look how much time is spent in Amazon reviews. Okay, look how much time is spent in reviews of movies and things like that. Word of mouth as articulated online is the single greatest source of that know, like, and trust that you can possibly develop. So you have to get the reviews. And once you get them, you have to use them properly and ethically, of course.
Absolutely. Just I think the mindset is just assume that 100% of your prospects are going to Google you before they hire you. Literally 100%. Yeah, just assume 100%. It. Whether it be 100% or 60%, doesn't matter. It's just the assumption so that it gets you to go, you'll build that up, but just assume so. For me, the way that I study Google reviews is it's the last leg of the positive feedback loop that will help your law firm grow, because the more Google reviews you get, the more it contributes for the next client to come in. And the more clients you get, more reviews you get. And the more reviews you get, the more clients you get. So if you're you have good marketing, but you kind of missing the last leg and you don't have your clients get you more reviews, well, there will be a cutoff in this positive feedback loop. And it basically it's like anti-scalable. You know, you're doing all this great, great work on the front end, but if you don't, you're letting it leak, then you're missing out on a huge kind of compounded effect of you getting more and more clients over time. It's an amazing contributing factor to that. The other thing is just make sure to collect Google reviews, not Yelp, not Avvo. This I kind of caught on to early. And when I understood the importance of reviews, I'm like, when am I going to collect it? And looked around. There's a lot of people that had Yelp reviews and Avvo reviews. And I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not where the money is. Most of your prospects are going to Google you. And I'm sure Google, your Google ads and other Google ad platforms are going to use your Google reviews. So I kind of placed myself there, and lo and behold, that kind of panned out correctly. When Google LSA came out, well, I was able to leverage all my Google reviews for that, and that kind of helped me. So call to action, focus on Google more than anything. The other opportunity that I see with Google, Neil, is responding back to every single review. This is another low-hanging fruit that everybody misses. Number one is Google loves seeing that. So you always want to feed the algorithm or feed these platforms what they want. Well, this is an easy win to show Google that you care. That's number one. And two, it also is a great opportunity for your prospects to come and see that you're real, that you actually care. I can assure you, it makes a huge difference. So call to action. Go answer every single Google review. Last week, I caught one of my law firms. We have a directory, all that stuff. So I kind of missed having my eye on it. And I realized we have 150 Google reviews that didn't have any responses. So I quickly went to ChatGPT, wrote a prompt saying, hey, you're a world-class customer support agent who helps lawyers answer reply back to Google reviews. You're going to be a nice person who's going to respond back to these reviews. And every time I give you an inquiry, all you're going to do is respond back to the review. I set that up. Now I will just copy and paste the reviews. Automatically, it would give me the responses. It would also customize, I would give it the name. It will also personalize it with the first name. Within 20 minutes, I answer all the reviews, hand it off to a VA to be able to do that. And now all the reviews are answered. Perfect place to be when somebody Googles me. Not only will they see all the positive reviews, but also they see that I care and I'm actually responding back to every single client.
I think it's equally important to, as you said, to personalize that and to make sure that it's written in your voice, because there is a danger if you're not as competent as Sam is about using some of these advanced tools to help generate text for you. You run the risk of having a canned answer that sounds canned. So just be a little careful of that. But absolutely, it's imperative that you respond to every review and not just the good ones. If you're unlucky enough and somebody leaves a negative review, you have to respond to that as well. You got to avoid getting in the name calling business or you can't, smack them around because they left you a bad review. You have to figure out why you got a bad review and respond to it ethically and professionally.
Neil, I'm going to give us uncensored good value for our listeners who listen in. I have a special affinity to people who listen to our conversations, and especially to the people who listen deep into the conversation, because I'm going to drop these truth bombs in there. And these are things that most people don't talk about. There are services out there that will clean up your Google reviews. There's ways to get about it. I could share the resources inside of our community at Lawyer Club. If anybody is really struggling, they had a Google review that they feel like that they don't deserve. A lot of times I found a lot of competitors get dirty and play around with these games. If you have one of those reviews, there are ways to get rid of it. We'll share that resource inside of our lawyer community in Lawyer Club.
Good. Perfect.
All right. Number four is signing up clients yourself. What I found being really deep into marketing is generating leads is relatively easy, relative terms, but signing up clients is much harder. The intake is where money is made. And a couple of patterns that I've seen is you're going to have a hard time scaling and being sustainably successful with signing up clients if you're the one signing up clients. Number one is your time is limited. You have to do other things. So you're probably, if that's your time is limited, you're probably not going to be doing enough follow-ups. You're probably not going to be in the right frame of mindset to be positive on the follow-ups and, be consistent with that. So it's even though it's crucial for you to sign up clients, it's just not sustainable for you to be the one doing it. Have that in mind. And it's one of those things every time that people join our program, it's one of our recipes for our program. It's something that a lot of people struggle with, whether it be based on the history or what you're used to or what you think or limiting beliefs or whatever that is. People always have an issue with this. Well, Sam, nobody knows my potential clients better than me. Nobody, blah, blah, blah. Give me, there's a bunch of all these, reasons. But what we've seen is, yes, I know it's hard. I know it's a new thing, but what we like to do is build an ideal law firm. Ideal law firm is something that's sustainable. So if you don't see yourself, if you don't imagine yourself signing up clients for the next 20 years, why do that? Let's go build that law firm that we'd like to have in 20 years and start acting like it now. I know it might be tough and it might be weird right now, but I promise you, in 20 years, we'll come back and be like, hey, Sam, how do I get intakers to sign up clients for me? So we like to kind of skip all that time and just do it in an ideal kind of vision that we like and just do it from the get-go. So what we do is, we've talked about this before, is we believe in having dedicated virtual intakers. Dedicated, that means they're yours. They're not shared with anybody. They're not a legal receptionist service kind of way. They're yours full time. And number two, we believe in the virtual model. Usually you're going to have a easier time and you're going to be more successful with somebody who is virtual at this role. If you find somebody who's in-house who can do this in-house, great, amazing, good for you. But what we found is a lot of these law firms, it's getting more and more competitive to find these stellar, amazing, good intakers. So what we do is we look beyond our in-house people. We look to people potentially overseas or even outside in the US, but people that are trained in sales that could step into this intake role.
Yeah, this is an area where I was slow to fall into step with this understanding, because I had that same belief. I was pretty good at closing. I was able to explain the process and educate the potential client, and frankly, I liked doing it. But when I got to the point where I was spending more than half of my day on initial consultations, and then I really had to step back and start thinking, well, is that the best use of my time? And so one of the things that I did to help pave the way to this concept of not signing up your clients yourself is to create a series of videos. So it was still me speaking in my voice, largely unscripted, just scripted, speaking from notes. And then when we have a qualified lead who's made an appointment for a consultation, between the time that they are identified as a lead and the time that the consultation starts, we send them the videos via email. and they watch the videos, that answers 95% of the questions that they would have had. So when the consultation comes to take place, then somebody other than you can address those final issues and get the conversion that you're looking for. So it's not as hard as you think it is to walk away from signing up your clients. You can do it in a strategic way. And me personally, I think the use of a video introduction greatly smooths that process over, if that's something that you care to.
Amazing. And there's a lot more to this. Again, how to where to find these types of people, how to manage them, how to incentivize them, who to look for, all that stuff. Again, needs more little bit smooth, you know, things to coach around. But yeah, we like doing sustainable kind of things. All right. Number five is dabbling on multiple platforms and not going all in on one platform. What I found, Neil, is a lot of people kind of dabble and try to do everything all at once. That means posting a little bit on Facebook here, posting a little bit on Instagram, maybe having a VA post things on Instagram, sometimes jumping on to LinkedIn. Unfortunately, these days, since these platforms are so competitive, average doesn't cut it. A little bit doesn't cut it. Just posting once a day doesn't cut it. What cuts it is an all-in mentality. That means being very particular and kind of locking in. You know what? This platform is for me, and I'm gonna go all in on this. Go all out, and I'm gonna ignore the rest. And this, I think, it comes down to knowing yourself, and not just trying to chase what other people are doing. And what I mean by this is everybody's born different. Some people are writers. Some people are good on video. Some people are good at posting memes. Some people are like engaging and asking questions. You got to know yourself, and you got to be okay with yourself, and you got to lean to your strengths and not fall for these traps of like, well, I heard TikTok. TikTok is doing well because I saw on a Facebook group that this person is doing well on TikTok, so I got to make some TikTok videos. For me, I cringe every time I see people doing that, where it's just very obvious they're in a platform that they're trying their best, but I just know it's not sustainable. Sure, you may do it for a couple of weeks, but it doesn't lead to anywhere. So I think, again, it comes down to knowing yourself, being confident in yourself, and then leaning towards the platform that you feel more comfortable in to go all in on, and not being distracted by what other people are doing.
Yeah, for me, I'd let what my own interests and preferences are to help guide me to where to focus my attention. I'm a visual learner. And so for me, YouTube is really important. I spend an inordinate amount of time, for instance, watching guitar videos. I play guitar. So I watch a lot of guitar videos on YouTube, and I see the power that that has in the music community. And I decided long ago that that's where I wanted to be in terms of my marketing for my law firm. And so, I have dozens and dozens and dozens of content-related YouTube videos that are available on my website and through my social media platforms. For me, that's where I put my focus in it, because that's what I like. And that's not always the right strategy, but I know for me that's what worked.
That's great. And Neil, as long as you have a good foundation of videos on YouTube that you put out, now every time you talk to a prospect, you want to send them there, so you can answer the questions and they could see that you're an expert in your niche.
That's exactly right. Because a great many questions that people, when they go onto our site and make an appointment, they let us know what is the issue that they have. And I have, can I put my kid's name on the deed of my house? Well, I've got five different videos that I've already done that address that question. And so I'm able to respond very quickly to those inquiries with almost a personalized video playlist for them to review. And that really builds a lot of trust in our firm, that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And I think a good sign is like, where are you most successful from? Goal value in the last 12 months, where did you get the, what was the platform that you got the most clients from? Every time you sign up a new client, by the way, in your welcome intake, you should ask the question, where did you first hear about me? Crucial quick sales question that everybody needs to be asking. And then you throw in options of the different platforms that you're on. And then over time, once you start collecting this data, you'll see that 60 to 80% of your clients will usually come from one source. Yep. And if so, you want to lean towards it, whether it be Google or YouTube or whatever, TikTok, then great. Screw the rest. Ignore the rest. And just how could you, and ask yourself, how can I double or triple the amount of content that I'm creating on those? And then also go beyond yourself. You know, you're not the only person who could create that content. You could hire people, across all of our platforms. I don't have time to go make YouTube videos and be on Instagram and TikTok and all these things. But I have content creators that are creating value and posting these videos. They may get a couple of hundred likes in the first 30 days, but I know these videos that are high value over time, over the next 3, 5, 10 years, they can get thousands and tens of thousands of views. And all of those videos are linked out to our funnels. And over time, that one video that I made that I thought wasn't successful, I look back 5 years later, I actually got 3,000 views. And of that 3,000, with a 10% conversion rate, 300 of those became actual clients from it. So these are little assets that you build over time if it's done the good mindset and, just again, having an all-in kind of mentality versus, dabbling and being average.
And I would leave our listeners with one thought here. Google has become a verb. It's not just a noun, it's a verb. How did you find about it? Oh, I Googled you. It speaks to the power of that platform. If you had any doubt, people aren't saying, oh, I Meta you. They're saying I Googled you. So that ought to tell you where you should be focusing. And just if you didn't know, Google owns YouTube now. So it's YouTube is the second largest search platform in the world. So it's something really to focus in on.
Amazing. All right. So let's do a quick little recap. If you're falling behind in marketing, then number one, you should be running paid ads, straight up as direct as that. Number two, talk less about yourself. Talk about your clients' problems. Lean into that. And only to speak their language, especially when it comes to the top of the funnel. Number three, collect more Google reviews. As we shared in earlier episodes, we have a really good automated system that allows you to collect at least 40% of reviews from your clients. If you want that, go to Lawyer Club. Just go to joinlawyerclub.com. Number four is, ideally, you should not be signing up clients yourself. You should look to hire dedicated virtual intakers to sign up clients for you. And number five, don't dabble, have an all-in mentality and ignore the distractions. Just pick your platform and go all in on that. Neil, we have an amazing next episode, which is what's the secret to law firm profitability? Everybody wants to be profitable. Everybody makes money, but not everybody is profitable. So we'll be sharing with you exactly what are the main things that you should look for and what you should do to stay profitable. Thank you Absolutely. So much, Neil. Appreciate you. We'll see you in the next episode.
Next time, Sam.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.